Welcome to break study number 12, or should I say study break number 12. We are continuing through 2 Thessalonians, a great chapter on being encouraged to us today, encouragement to us, and a direction and guidance. Looking to the risen Savior through Paul in a rightly divided King James Bible. I hope you've listened to 9, 10, 11 up to this point. I find myself, when I listen through these, you know, stuttering here and there and skipping here and there. This isn't like doing one big long sermon in front of some folks and you really put it together and hope they can get it. Not that I've ever really ever put it together, but I hear some pauses and whatever. So this is break time. We're just taking a 5, 10, 15 minute break and we're just being reminded of some things from within the scriptures from this Paulson guy who now, at this point anyway, is up in North Dakota. You know, we started this whole thing. We're in Washington. Let's see here. Washington. And then Ohio and South Dakota, now up to North Dakota, we get around. I think we're just looking for colder temperatures every time we move. But here we are, looking at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You can buy books and books and video studies about people who think they've got Revelation all figured out. They think they've got the Antichrist, the false prophet, the teachers, all these things all figured out who they would be. But you know, frankly, I don't care. The only thing that bothers me about that stuff is A, they don't teach people to the rightly divided King James Bible through the risen Savior through Paul. They don't do that. They may have this stuff in their mind figured out. And what's frustrating is people will send them all their money. Oh, that's good. That's a good thing about Book of Revelation. I remember way back into the Las Vegas years when I first got into this stuff. The big subject then was the Book of Revelation. Let's figure this whole thing out. Well, it's been 25, 30, I don't know, many years, and the rapture hasn't come yet. And, like Paul teaches us, the rapture is coming. It's still coming. We're just closer. We're part of a falling away. And these people that are caught up in the revelational stuff, if they just need to read chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and they get a pretty good description of what's going on. So what he's saying here is even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, well, of course, that is not referring to Satan himself. So we must be looking at the prophet, as they would call it, the false prophet or whatever. So let's just jump to Revelation 16. Let me show you one quick thing here. We see here in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So if you want to spend all your study time trying to figure out the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, you know, I guess you can. Go for it. Have a good time. I've got some references here. But what we need to notice here in verse 14, this is what's important. It's not who it is. It's what's taking place. And here's what's taking place more and more. And this is so hard for people to understand and to accept. For they are the spirits of devils, plural, not demons, like I'm sure other Bibles say. But look at this, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So this is what we see taking place. And when he says here in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So if we go back up to verse 4, we see that this, and Isaiah and Ezekiel, we see that the devil himself is looking for worship. He's looking to be above God. He's looking to be called God, etc., etc. And we see here that he, in his religious nature here, is deceiving people with power and signs and lying wonders, as it says in Revelation 16 there, working miracles. These things are happening. So when these lying wonders and these signs and all these miracles that are taking place, people think, well, this has to be of God. No, it's not of God. God does not do miracles and wonders and signs today. He doesn't do that. Well, why do pastors talk about that? Because they're preaching the Great Commission, which in Mark chapter 16 says those things will take place. Mark chapter 16, let me get to it here. I'm slow with my pages, they're so worn down here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Interesting how that leaves out baptized right there. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So the Great Commission, the days of the gospel days when Jesus was preaching to the Jews, they would have signs. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So if that's being taught today, this is the seriousness of rejecting Paul in teaching the apostolic doctrine, is because nowadays, during the Gentile time, the dispensation of grace, if that is taught, that is being taught by the devil. 2 Thessalonians. That's what we're dealing with here. And that's some serious stuff. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. So all the works that are going on out there, the unrighteousness works, Romans chapter 1, that's the stuff that's deceiving people. They think it's fun. They think it's enjoyable. They do it with pleasure. Now here's where this starts to get pretty serious. Not that it isn't serious anyway. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Like I said in number 11 here, break number 11, the absence of truth today is unbelievable. It's a void. It's a vacuum. Anytime you try to put some truth into it, it shuts down conversation. It destroys relationships. You can lose your job with it. And in some cases, because of all this, you can lose your health over this stuff. Your mind can go. You can be troubled so much, which is exactly what Paul is teaching us not to let happen. And I'm sure as I get older in these years and things happen to us, I'm going to be challenged. I've already been challenged in my mind. And I have been troubled over things. We've had some very serious challenges, as many as you have had. No, as many of you that have also had. There we go. We just can't let it take us down. The rapture is still coming. We are not during the tribulation. We will not be going through the tribulation. We just have persecution to live, as Paul warns in 2 Timothy. Live godly, you'll suffer persecution. But that doesn't mean we're waiting for the day of Christ. That's their problem. Our joy is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming and we will be gathered together unto him. And that's what Paul is teaching us in the second chapter. Okay, so let's go back to this thing. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So when we realize, and I know we all do that are listening to this, we realize that truth is just becoming more and more impossible to find. Well, it has to happen. It has to take place because they received not. Pastors are not teaching the love of the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. It isn't just that the truth is gone. It's the fact that people don't love the truth. Just count your blessings that you do. Even though we don't like what the truth says, we have a love of the truth. King James Bible, rightly divided. Look into Paul, teaches us this, the teachings of the risen Savior. And how can I say that you love the truth? Because you're listening to these breaks. You've got your Bible there. You get encouraged by what Paul teaches us, which we know are the words of God, wholesome words of Jesus Christ, penned down to us, inspired and preserved, so we still have that today. We ought not be shaken up. We ought not be troubled. And we ought not be deceived by any means for us to take that position. And for this cause, God shall send them. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to save that for break number 13. We'll see you in break number 13.